been alone in the wild for days? Have any of you ever even been alone for days? Maybe for some of you, to be alone for a few days would be the scariest place that you could ever be in. I don't know about you, but I hate being alone. Maybe it's the wild animals in our own hearts and minds that show their faces when we're alone. Jesus was alone for 40 days. That's from now. I counted. It's from now until I think the 4th of November. So can you imagine going into the country park by yourself, alone, from now until November? Maybe you would go mad. But the only thing worse than being alone for 40 days is being with Satan for 40 days. Think about that. He wasn't alone. He spent 40 days. And actually, in the Greek, the tense, the verb tense of the Greek really is saying in this passage that not the devil came to him at the last day, but for 40 days, within that 40 days, the devil, Satan, was tempting Jesus. So the Spirit of God leads Jesus into the enemy's territory, the devil's turf. Now, we mentioned a few weeks ago, the context of this book of Mark is it was written for Roman Christians who were facing persecution. Nero, the emperor, was killing people. They were being dressed up as wild animals, and they would send dogs after them and have dogs chew them up. They were having to flee their homes and live in tombs. They were paraded into the Colosseum where lions would eat them. It seemed like to them that they were face to face with the devil himself. So for these people, this passage was saying to them, Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you are going through. And we could add this morning that no matter what it is that you are going through, Jesus knows what you've been through, and He knows what you're going through, and He understands. Only two places in the Bible we see temptation directly, meaning face to face with the devil, temptation. You know, one of those is here, and the other one is where? Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 2. So if we look at a comparison between Adam and Eve and Genesis and Jesus, these temptations, we see some interesting things. They were in a paradise. They had companionship. They were walking with God. They had kind animals around them. And even the devil does not appear in his, can we say, real form. He appears in the hidden form of a serpent. Yet, they sinned in an instant. Yet Jesus was in the devil's territory, alone, no food, no water, starving, alone, with wild animals around. And Satan appears to him not in the form of a serpent, but all we know is that he appeared as Satan. He is the accuser. Yet Jesus, praise God, did not sin. It is tougher than any temptation you and I could ever face, much different than Adam and Eve's. Jesus, you understand, Jesus will succeed where Adam and Eve failed. Jesus, as the second Adam, will succeed where Israel failed in the wilderness. And Jesus will succeed where all of us have failed. What is the significance of the temptation that Jesus goes through? What's the purpose? Why did the Spirit send him into the wilderness to be tempted? It's crucial for us to remember the mission of Jesus and the purpose of Jesus' mission. What was his mission? His mission was to go to the cross. His mission was to be the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. His mission was to die. His mission was to fulfill all righteousness, as we talked about last week. He invaded the devil's territory to snatch away sin and death and make a way for people to be saved. You understand that Jesus had to go to the cross. It wasn't a tragedy where he accidentally was going to slip into this bad situation at the wrong time in the wrong place and he just happened to die on the cross. No, it was the purpose of God. So the devil's temptations in Matthew chapter 4 were to divert Jesus from his mission. As I've studied this week, I think it's impossible for us to understand the psychological difficulty of 40 days being tempted by Satan himself. Most of our temptations are our own flesh. But to be face to face with the devil and to have him berate and question Jesus at his weakest point, alone, tired, had to be psychological torture. I'm not going to go over these verses in detail because Mark leaves them out. But I just want to point to you the temptations, and I want to just kind of paraphrase a little bit about what's going on there. The last thing we heard the Father say to Jesus was, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the devil says to Jesus twice, If you are the Son of God, dung, 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 etc., etc. Now, he's not saying to Jesus, "Come on, Jesus, doubt. Doubt that you're the Son of God." In Jesus' divinity, that is impossible. He's not trying to get Jesus to doubt who he is. He's trying to say something like this: "Take the easy way. Don't suffer. Jesus, make it easy on yourself. If you're the Son of God deserves better than this. This is no way for the Son of God to live. You're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, there's no reason for you to starve. You have the power at your disposal to take these loaves of bread and to turn them into stone. Don't depend upon God to do this for you, to feed you in his timing. You've got the power. Just take the bread and just make it, take the stones and make it bread. You can do that. If you're the Son of God, do it the easy way. God is slow. He works slowly. Just do it. You can. If you can, then why don't you? Jesus says, "No, devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I will trust in God. The Spirit led me out here, and I am going to fully depend upon God to meet my needs. Second one, Jesus, is it followers that you want? Is it followers that you want? Well, this is easy. If you're the Son of God, the Scriptures even say, if you throw yourself down off the temple, then the angels of God will catch you. It'll be awesome. It'll be a miracle. And you know what? Jesus, when everybody sees that, you know what's going to happen? They'll all follow you instantly. There's no need to do this long way. There's no reason to go to the cross to get followers. All you have to do is just jump off of this place right now. The angels will catch you. Everybody will see it. And you'll have what you want, which is followers. Miracles will produce instant followers. No, devil, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Number three, Jesus, is it glory and honor that you want? You want to be glorified? You want a kingdom? Just a slight bow. Just a slight move toward worship of me. And see the kingdoms of the world? I have the power. I'll give it all to you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if it's a kingdom that you want. You can bypass the cross, the pain, the spitting in your face, the ripping of your beard, the punches to your nose. Oh, you know, the ripping of your back with lashes. You don't have to do that. That's not the way. You don't even need to do that. Just a slight bow of worship to me, and the kingdoms of the world will be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. The essence of what the devil was tempting Jesus with for 40 days is don't suffer. Take the easy way. Don't go to the cross. The cross isn't necessary for someone like you. If you're the Son of God, you're above suffering. But we know, brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus trusted God 100% because His mission was to suffer and die. I want to ask you a question. I hope when you look at the temptation, I hope when you look at the temptation of Jesus, you ask hard questions of the Scripture. And you ask yourself, why? On the way here this morning in the car, I asked our family, okay, why did Jesus have to be tempted? It's a hard question, isn't it? So if someone asked you, why did Jesus have to be tempted? What would you say? Or what if you ask the question, what if Jesus would have given in to Satan? what would be the outcome of that? Well, if Jesus would have fallen to Satan, then he would not be the spotless Lamb of God. He would be a sinner, and you and I might as well stop right now. We're wasting our time here this morning. Let's go eat. And I will choose to play golf on Sundays, because we would not have a Savior. What did it mean for those in Rome? Put yourself in the shoes of people who are being persecuted in Rome. What does it mean for them to read this? Jesus was with the wild animals too. And he faced the king of hell face to face and overcame. So no matter what they're going through, even if they die, they will overcome. They will have victory. Now quickly, if you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm just going to go over a couple of verses before we close. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, you know you have to interpret the Bible with the Bible. That's a great phrase you should remember. Interpret the Bible with the Bible. So if we want to ask ourselves, what does the temptation mean for us? Then the Bible gives us the answer in Hebrews chapter 2. So it's on the screen. I'll read it quickly. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation. That's a big word. It means give a sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God, that he might make propitiation for the sins of the people. Listen to this verse. For because he himself was suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So there's something for you this morning. There's a great verse for you this morning. For because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Have any of you ever been tempted? So he is able to help you. Why? Because through his death, he destroyed the one who had the power of death. And conjunction, the second thing is to deliver all of those who were subject to lifelong slavery. So what has he done for us? He has conquered death, so Satan has no power over us, and he also has no... He has no power over us eternally, and he has no power over you in your life to sin. So you don't have to be a slave to sin. So if you feel like this morning, I just don't know if I'm ever going to overcome this. I just don't know this morning if I can. The liar, the father of lies, will tell you that you cannot overcome. It is a lie. The scriptures say you have been delivered if you're in Christ. The next one, Hebrews 4. Here's something else for you. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Read that very carefully. Who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here is this glorious, glorious passage in Hebrews. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace in time of need. I can say this because I'm a professional sinner. The devil will tell you, you can't go to God when you sin. And those of you who are professional sinners know what I'm talking about. When you've done something that you know you shouldn't have done for the 10 millionth time, the devil will say to you, you can't go to God quickly. You need to feel, it needs time. You know, you need time before God will forgive you. You need time to go to God, you know, because you need to feel a certain remorse or you need to feel a certain way, do penance or whatever. But this verse says, let us with confidence. So I would encourage you that if you know you sinned, just quickly go to God and say, I know I shouldn't have done this for the 5,000th time, but I'm just going to go to you right now because the Scripture says I can with confidence and to receive what? Mercy. And mercy is saying that you need mercy. To receive mercy and grace to help me in time of need. So, in closing, what does it mean for us? Jesus had to live your life. We talked about that last week. He didn't just have to die your death. He also had to live your life. Or else he could have died on the cross when he was 8 years old. But he had to live your life. In order to live your life, to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus had to be tempted in all ways as you were. You understand that? Or else he was cheating. You understand? He was cheating if he took the easy way out or if God just, you know, put a hedge of protection around him and he didn't have to go through the things we went through, then it would be kind of taking the easy way as a Savior. Because he was tempted in all ways as you are, he is able to sympathize with your weaknesses and intercede on your behalf. Because he resisted temptation, he can give you the power to do it as well. Jesus received your punishment, you should have received it. Jesus died your death, but you should have died. He rose again, so you can rise again someday. Over your sin, over your temptations. I put it like this. I want to close with an illustration. Everybody know what an honorary degree is? You know what an honorary degree is? Yeah, an honorary degree, right? So it's a degree that I hope no one in here has one. It's just an illustration if you have one, okay? What is an honorary degree? It's a thing where maybe you're a movie star, maybe you're Donald Trump or something, and so you make a donation to the university, and so they'll give you an honorary degree. And so maybe on your resume or something it says, you know, I have a doctorate in business as an honorary. Well, how would you feel this morning if I told you that my seminary degree or my degrees in theology were honorary? How would you feel if you knew that I hadn't actually done any of the work, that I hadn't passed any of the classes, I didn't do any of the homework, I didn't write any theses, I didn't study really any of that stuff, but you hired me based upon my degree, which was honorary? How would that make you feel? Wouldn't that make you feel in some ways just kind of like, that just seems not right, right? What if your professor at what if you found out your professor never did any of that work? They never did any of the research. It was just honorary. Wouldn't you be like, why am I listening to this guy? He hasn't even paid his dues. Well, Jesus was no honorary savior. Jesus wasn't an honorary savior. He went through everything that he needed to go through in order to be your savior. So he can sympathize with us, and he is rightfully our savior because he went through everything that we could have ever gone through. And praise God that when he was tempted, he did not sin. So today, there is hope for you and there's hope for me that we can also have victory over our temptations. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we rejoice knowing that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. And though all of us, maybe some of us still, understand what it means to be in slavery, not being able to stop, not being able to be free. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, that through Jesus Christ we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that our righteousness is based upon the shed blood of Christ. And we have nothing to stand on but Him. So let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence to find grace and mercy in a time of need. God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would empower each one of us today to wage war against the flesh by the sword of the Spirit. If there's anyone here today who needs, or maybe all of us need today, Lord, victory in Jesus over certain areas of our lives, we pray that today you would grant us the grace and the power to have victory. Thank you, Lord, for the shed blood of Jesus, where we have forgiveness of sin, and for the broken body which was punished for our transgressions, which we celebrate in the Lord's Supper even now. We pray in His name. For some reason it won't come up. No. So, yeah. Sorry, hang on 1 second, guys. Is it saved? Let's do this. Let's see. Yeah. Maybe you can do that while we prepare the elements. So we're going to join now in the Lord's Supper. So please tarry with us for a few more minutes as we, it's probably the most important thing that we could do today is partake of the Lord's Supper. This is not something that we made up. This is something that communion is something that Christ gave us. And really, this is the drama ministry of our church. So you didn't know that we had a drama ministry, but this is our drama ministry. It's the Lord's Supper is us basically acting out what Christ has done for us, and it's also baptism would also be a dramatic interpretation of the gospel. And so this morning, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, then this is for you to partake of the bread and the cup. And so I would ask that as we partake of it, that you examine yourselves as the Scripture commands us. And also, please hold the cup and hold the bread until the end, and we'll take together. Okay? So if the deacons would come forward at this time, we will prepare the elements. Jesus' body, which was broken for you. Thanks.